Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all around the world, you are listening to a post-Michael Cohen testimony edition of Let's Weekend. And, yeah, you may not know it, that other shit actually happened this week, but especially if you were watching the news, because that shit was on all goddamn day.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was more, if that was testimony, or if that was just, like, the rantings of a madman, because it was hard to tell, really.
Oh, it was a lot of things. But, we'll be talking about it, of course. And the stuff it basically revealed about not just him, but about his former client, very revealing, I'll just say. But amongst other things we'll be talking about for this 1st of March. Yes, it is the first day of March this week. This is March 1st, 2019 for this show. We'll be talking about some other stuff because, yes, other things did happen. We got another entry into the 2020 race because of course we do. Remember, folks, that election doesn't happen for another year. So prepare yourself.
Yeah. There's just that much housekeeping to do.
Yeah. We got some more assholes who got banned off of social media. Including one individual who was just a massive grifter. Finally got what he fucking deserved.
Always satisfying.
Yeah. Also, Ivanka Trump tried to prove that she was somehow in touch with the American people and completely
what
failed.
Could possibly go wrong.
Hard. We got some weird ass news out of Canada. Bill.
I take no responsibility for this.
I think he was just asking for an explanation.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes finally figured out that, maybe we should do something about all of this review bombing shit. Mm-hmm. And we got some more Netflix news, including Martin Scorsese's next movie. Mm. Oh, and it didn't show much, but it had a hell of a cast it showed, so that's gonna be something. Oh yeah, we got another Detective Pikachu trailer, and I don't know about you guys, but I suddenly want to see that movie more.
That trailer made my mind hurt.
Yeah, but of course we'll have all that and more on this edition of Let's Weekend. So start us off as always, Phil. What have you been up to this week?
Oh, fuck Koei Tecmo.
I concur.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a thing. I got Dead or Alive 6, and it's a great game, but fuck Koei Tecmo. Mm-hmm. It really means
they undermine that game on so many levels, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they're deliberately trying to sabotage it. Which at this point, I wouldn't put past them, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I mean, they got a drop from Evo from a spot that was all but theirs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we can tell.
Yeah, they went and snatched a defeat from the jaws of victory, so that was great.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God, are they trying to pull a Konami?
It almost looks like it.
Yeah.
Except they're treating Yohei Shimbori a lot better.
Yeah, for now anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Needless to say, I'm not going to be buying the season pass.
Wait for the characters to drop piecemeal.
Yeah, in this case, it probably will actually end up being cheaper to do that.
Yeah.
No question.
Usually, unless they decide like they're going to charge $30 per character, which at this point I wouldn't put past them. So yeah, that's a thing.
I don't think they have that much spite.
Yeah. Well, this is the company that did Dynasty Warriors 9.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to take a formula that was solid and then completely fuck it up. So, anyways. Apart from that, I've been going through the story mode, and that makes no goddamn sense.
Never does.
No. Especially in the format that this is in, where it's not really linear. You can kind of jump around as you want.
Yeah.
And it's not just...
I've played with that a little bit, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like you jump around as you want. You actually have to, because you hit roadblocks where you have to backtrack. So, that was nice of them. But apart from that, the DOA quest mode is actually a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool, yeah, from what little I've played.
I dig that. The online is okay. I mean, you got ranked, and that's about it. Technically, there is casual, but nobody's playing that right now,
Yeah,
apparently.
I've got a lot of respect for the navigation, though. Like in the DOA quest mode, or even in the story mode, if it sees something that you're not doing, or maybe a mission that you're not completing, it will immediately give you an option to kick over to a tutorial pertaining to that specific item.
Yeah, I do
That's
like that.
brilliant.
Yeah, there's a lot that's done so well in the in this game so
And
far.
that's the problem. It's such a good game for them to treat it like this.
But yeah, I mean, I think they're just treating it like DOA 5, trying to get away with that kind of crap again. And how much do you want to bet that season pass is going to get discounted like very, very quickly,
Or renamed.
or
Oh,
renamed?
yeah.
Yeah. Or the characters split out from it, you know,
Yeah.
that may
Well,
happen
I think
too.
that was always part of the plan.
But I mean, just buy the characters as,
Yeah.
just do that. Just buy them separately. That'll be better. But yeah, we'll probably by Sunday, and I think we'll probably have played more of it to have a
Yeah.
bit more, you know, more in-depth impression of it. But for now, it's a good game. Holy fuck, the window on that counter.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you notice that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also, yeah, you think a four-way system is too complicated for you? Go into the options and turn on three-way.
Yeah. That
That's
was
why.
the DOA-3 system.
Yeah, that's in there. And as far as I know, I don't think that's taken into consideration when you're playing ranked.
Oof.
Yeah. There may be things that need ironing out over time, but
I mean, maybe if they nerf the damage on counters when you use the three direction system, I could see that working out, but other than that.
So yeah, one thing I will give you guys as a tip, go into your display settings for the your brightness settings in particular. Because by default, I don't know why they did this, but by default, the game is way too bright. You'll notice that the standard calibration screen that they give you there, where it's like, make sure that the left logo is visible. What they don't tell you is the right one should not be at all. So if you're seeing that right logo, your screen is too bright. And once you dial that back, the game looks so much better. Yeah. So just a quick
I already thought it looked pretty damn good.
tip. But yeah, so give that a look. Apart from that, well, I started watching season 3 of the Grand Tour, and it's great. They went to Detroit and drove muscle cars. As you
Sounds
do.
good.
Had a little bit of a, you know, heart pang because I know that Rich used to live in Detroit, so so that was a bit rough, but yeah, stuff happened. Apart from that, they're going to Columbia next week, so I'm gonna be watching that episode probably after the show and see how that goes. I'm sure they said they're going to go to Columbia and attempt not to use the C word.
Well,
Like
they have used the term
cocaine.
they have used the term special agriculture in the past.
That's something that they could do. And apart from that, well, I'm still knee-deep in Doom. I'm doing that. Working on right now constructing a railgun because that's going to be amazing.
I'm a fan of real guns in my first-person shooters.
Railguns are going to be fun, especially like. This is like one of the actually it is the only weapon type in the Z-Doom engine that will not auto aim.
I wonder why.
Because it actually works in 3D space, so that's a thing. And it's an instantaneous hit, so hey. But yeah, that's kind of been my week, so how about you, Pat?
I'm still just utterly owned by Stormblood. I played a little bit of DOA 6 when I got home from work, but just everything surrounding the game, as brilliant as it is, kind of soured the experience for me once it finally downloaded. I want things to go so well for this game, but at the same time, Team Ninja themselves need to be taken behind the woodshed over it. But yeah, I'll be playing more of it this weekend. And other than that, I've been just kind of mentally preparing for ONE, which I'm going to next weekend.
Oh boy.
OGs Never End. It's a classic fighting game tournament down in Las Vegas. It's Super Turbo, Third Strike, MVC2, CVS2.
Ooh.
And I'll be down there for that. It's sort of the brainchild of Boss. Ryo Yoshida is a former Capcom playtester and longtime Street Fighter pro.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting it'll be a really good event, and hopefully it can become kind of an annual tradition. Because really, the classics need something to hang their hats on.
Yep.
And I can't think of somebody better to provide that. So yeah, I'm going to be down there for it. I'm probably going to be entering at least Super Turbo and Third Strike. I may play Capcom versus SNK2 if I'm feeling confident. But yeah, that's my week.
Chris?
All right, Chris, what about you?
So I checked out a show on Netflix called One Day at a Time, which is a pretty good sitcom about a Cuban family, which is pretty neat. Rita Moreno is in it, is the abuelita,
Grandma, yeah.
who is the one that directly came from Cuba, having raised a daughter who's now the mom of the family, with two kids, and they have a weird landlord that lives in the apartment across the hall that's always over. He's white also, so they make there's like one episode where he makes the dinner. It's like, oh, I wasn't expecting such Caucasian food. He's very much like a hipster kind of dude. And yeah, also Stephen Tobolowsky's in it. He is the doctor that the mom works for. And he very much is Stephen Tobolowsky, which is pretty good. And I just finished the first season, which is about the daughter going through her quinceañera. And yeah, it's been a pretty cool show. Yeah, it's kind of like less of a Saturn like Fuller House kind of show. It's a little bit more able to just be real. Rather than, oh, everything's always great. But yeah, I think they are up at three seasons right now, so I'm definitely gonna keep watching some more of that. I've been playing some Trials Rising. I got that the other day, and that is a very good Trials game, without the trick nonsense from the previous game Fusion. There are definitely some weird things about it. I've had a little bit of hitching. Nothing that really ruins the flow of the game. Just a couple points where you go up on some bigger jumps and it's like stutters a bit. Like it's having a little trouble loading everything as it goes. They have loot crates in there for cosmetic stuff, and it's full of stickers. Because you can use stickers on pretty much any of the cosmetic outfits. So I think like Dan Reichert used it to make one of the helmets into a Waluigi helmet. Like Waluigi essentially. And it looked pretty good. But also when that's like most what you're getting out of it instead of just dumb outfits and pieces for the bikes. It feels like when you are getting that stuff in like Forza Horizon 4, and it's all these outfit stuff, and it's like, the stuff that you're not going to see that much,
yeah.
Especially when you're not looking at your character all that much. But yeah, I've gotten some cool stuff for my character. I got a dumb flaming T-shirt, like 90s style flame T-shirt.
Okay.
Which was perfect because I was trying to make like I gave my character green skin. It's like, oh, it'll be a Piccolo type character. And so I needed some more 90s stuff. And I had like a jean vest. It's like, all right, this is a terrible looking character. I'm on track. I got some of the stuff that was free on the Ubisoft club. Which some of it's like, hey, if you played Fusion or the mobile game or the Trials of the Rising or the Blood Dragon, you got some special like helmet stuff there, or play the open beta or closed beta, some of that stuff. So I had like a really weird looking helmet that's from the Trials of the Blood Dragon. I think that was, I had that on for a little bit, and I just decided to put on a regular helmet. But yeah, there's lots of cool tracks. I guess it's like 125 in the base game, which is a lot. And so far, they've been pretty good for the most part. There are some cool mini games that have it all in one section. It unlocks as you level up. So I've only done one that is, I forget what there's a Flash game I remember playing ages ago that was basically about throwing your character off of a bike and they hit explosives and such and trying to get it to go as long as like long of a distance as you can. It was just full of anime. This was like the Trials version of that. Because you're flinging your character off the bike and then they hit these like explosive barrels every so often as it's like counting the distance. And that keeps them going. And depending on how they hit it, they might go like higher up into the air. As far as the arc is concerned, or they might get a lower one. And I got a platinum on that first run, so like, I never have to play this again. Somehow it was like a perfect run, first time out. It's like, all right, I did not learn anything about how to play this, and got a perfect, so we're good to go.
Yeah.
The second one involved you doing a bailout with your character as it shoots like a ball up into the air. And you're supposed to grab that and dunk it into a basketball hoop and try to keep doing that consecutively how many times you can. I think I got to 5 in a row, and that was pretty fun, and that's about as much as I've gotten so far. I think the one where they set you on fire is the next one I'm supposed to get. But they definitely, in the beta, they kind of had the leveling process going a lot faster than it does in the regular game. Then the level requirements for getting to certain things is definitely a bit higher than it was before. Because I think I could get through all 5 bikes, or 5 of the 6 bikes in the beta pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get the third bike with like level 42, where I'm at like 26, 27 right now. So I have a good ways to go, and the amount of money I have to spend to unlock the helium bike, it's like 15,000 gold, which I'm at probably like 8,000, somewhere around there. So I have a good ways to go for the other bikes, but yeah, it's good Trials. It has a lot of stuff in there. I definitely hope like the leaderboard stuff's not great, because I think in the previous one they kind of showed you just like what your next friend's time was as you're playing, and here they don't really do that. Anytime you start up a new level, it'll give you 4 random ghosts to chase. It doesn't seem to prioritize friends, so I don't know if I have any friends that are actually playing it yet. So that could be also the problem. But it's some of the levels, it posts like a new high score. It's like, I don't know if that's somebody that's on my friends list or not. It doesn't necessarily make that stuff clear enough, but being an Ubisoft game, it's going to get plenty of updates. But yeah, it's a pretty good game, and I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. I did play the Switch beta, and that sure is a hell of a thing. Because the first stage they show you, it's N64 style, full of fog, with lots of stuff missing. Because I had to, when I was making the video, I was kind of pointing out stuff. It's like, oh, this, there's nothing back here where there was a bunch of stuff in the PS4 version. Like one of the train cars has, you know, sides and all that on it. And there's nothing there on the Switch version. But the rest of the levels didn't have that fog. It was like weird. It wasn't as aggressive, but I took screenshots of some of the other levels. It's like, yeah, here's one that's in like a construction yard, and there's a lot less detail and stuff in the background. It doesn't have shadows, that sort of stuff, but your character does. Mm-hmm. So they kind of focus more on just making it run better for the stuff that matters. But yeah, that was a bit of a surprise, that first level. It's like, there's some that are kind of similar looking in terms of kind of being these open areas, and they don't pull that same kind of stuff with them, at least in the beta. I don't know what they did in the final game, but yeah, that was real weird. But it definitely sort of highlights some of the power differences between the Switch and the other consoles. Yeah. For a game, you don't necessarily think about that stuff, especially when there's like a mobile version of the series. But yeah, that game's good. I definitely want to put some time into the multiplayer stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Now that there's more people to play with. The Switch video, the first Switch video got nuked from orbit on YouTube. Because I guess there were music playing in the menus. Mm. I think specifically a Sum 41 song.
Oh, Lord.
That was the one where it's like, it's banned in 242 countries, which I didn't know there were that many countries in the world. much less the YouTube tracks. So I had to do a new video, and it had like a streaming mode in the options. I was like, oh, okay. So it just turns off all the
copyright
music mm-hmm. audio.
More games need that these days.
Yeah. Well, when I start up the PS4 version, the full version, it doesn't have that. So when I was doing some streaming, I just went and turned that down. You know, I was like, you guys need to have this uniform between versions. Hmm. It should be a thing I'm seeing in a beta, and it doesn't show up in the full game.
Hopefully it's coming.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that I know some games have. I think Rocket League has it. Because mm-hmm. That game is full of music. But yeah, as for streaming, I managed to get our SmashPad account back on Twitch.
Oh, that's fantastic news.
Yeah. Mm. Especially when I initially contacted them like early February. and they just got back to me. It's like, oh, hey, sorry, we didn't catch this reply. If it's still a problem. It's like, yeah, it's still a problem. Mm. I didn't somehow figure out how to undo this shitty place this account was in. And yeah, they basically replied back, give me a new password to log in. And apparently they have us at some point added a way for you to have two accounts attached to one email at a certain point. Yeah. So I had to go back to our other SmashPad account and enable that for another account to have the same email. So now they're both on the same one, which is good. And then I also found out they have achievements on Twitch now.
Yep.
Streamers. So I was like, oh, I got
that. That is a thing.
I got four of them as soon as I started doing anything. Hmm. But yeah.
Well, you get one just for being there.
Yeah, the one issue I have with Twitch is I kind of wish it was like YouTube where you could switch between accounts more easily.
Yeah.
Between my personal one and the SmashPad one. Instead of logging out and logging back in. And I kind of wish it would take you to a separate page for the login stuff instead of it being on the front page where there you might get stuck with something blaring in the background, whatever's auto-playing.
Yeah.
That's kind of a little annoying, but yeah.
Yeah.
I did some tests, and 720p seems to be working pretty fine. I'm definitely going to do a test tomorrow and try it out in 1080p, see how that goes. Yeah, the four I got achievements. There's one for explore your dashboard, update your category, update your stream title, and start your first stream. So if you want to know how old this account is as far as the last time it was used.
Oh, Lord.
Let's see. Where can I see what this account is following?
was before Brandon was here, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, the two channels it's following for some reason, Loot Crate and OnLive.
I didn't know OnLive was still... No, OnLive doesn't exist anymore.
No.
No, I'm looking Loot at their...
probably a dad rip thing.
And OnLive, their last video, they still have highlights up there from 4 years ago.
Yeah, which would be it's safe to unfollow them.
Yeah.
How do I unfollow? Okay. Oh, unfollow, okay. Yeah, because they're owned by Sony now. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I thought that was Gaikai.
I guess that is.
No. Yeah.
I think it all got merged together at some point.
Oh. Well, Sony bought Gaikai, and then OnLive kind of went bankrupt, and then Sony bought them.
Yeah, oh. They bought, like, the technology.
Yeah.
And collectively, they are PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're the remote play stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That in the share play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess Loot Crate streaming Anthem. So, of course, they are. But yeah, it's nice to get that all under control now.
Yeah,
I can get back to doing some of our regular streaming, and I just got to figure out what the hell to stream.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be doing one tomorrow night, so if you guys are free, I would definitely appreciate hopping on for a little bit, just make sure the stream is working out.
All right.
Yeah, I managed to update OBS to check out their new thing, which I kind of had to do because I guess it works better with the Elgato.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was trying to do it with the old version. I guess they kind of abandoned that for the Streamlabs version or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That seems to work with it. Peachy. That was also popping up like chat and all that when I was... already had the page up. It's like, yeah. I don't need two of these. Knock it off. But I couldn't find a way to mute the video, the audio from that, so I didn't hear it. Hmm. I was playing it. Like, hear an audio from it, like, a few seconds behind what I was playing.
Oh, that's annoying.
When I was playing Trials, I was like, I'm glad I'm not that bad that this isn't messing me up or anything, but... yeah, we should be getting back into the groove on that.
Yeah. And now we don't actually have to share login credentials anymore to have people stream on the Smash Bad channel anymore.
Nope.
You can just authorize, so that's yeah. Going to make this a lot easier.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to add people for the team.
Yeah.
But yeah,
have the auto host riders.
Yeah. Well, I think I must have scared the shit out of like the few followers we still have on that thing.
Surprise!
Though I guess it probably timed out at a certain point when you're not streaming at all. Because I know they do that if you're subscribed to a channel and don't check in after a while. Hmm. I imagine 4 years is probably a timeout there at some point.
I think so, but nope.
Yeah,
nope.
We'll see. We'll see how this all goes. I gotta relearn how to do Twitch.
How do I Twitch?
Yeah. But yeah, I gotta record the test stream, and I'll probably put that up on the YouTube channel.
I think it already is.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I saw it this morning. It just kind of went there, so apparently.
Cool.
I'll have to check this out, because that's news to me. So trying to log in... to that, let me see.
Mm.
No, I don't think it's on there. There's the beta videos I put up there the other day, but yeah. But yeah, it took me a little bit to get our YouTube and our YouTube and Twitter accounts attached to it, so it'll tweet out that stuff and all that, because. Because mine's the one that's on this Chrome. And I don't want to sit here and log out of that, so I had to go to Edge. So for a reason, Facebook wasn't letting me log into Twitch. It kept telling me the password was wrong. I was like, no, I'm logged in on Chrome. I don't know what you're doing, Firefox. So I went to Edge. Yeah. Somehow that solved the problem.
Huh.
Oh, so it's good for something.
Yeah. Hey, let me log into accounts that don't work anywhere else. I'll go to Edge.
All right.
How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, my primary this week, gaming, has been taken up with Anthem. And I love it. It's a fun game. You know, I love the world. I love the characters. I love the gameplay. Just one problem. EA servers suck.
Yeah.
Really
doesn't matter the game there.
Yeah. Basically, what ended up happening is I had to port forward my console.
Hmm. Yeah, you probably would have had to do that anyway.
Yeah, but after I did that, I haven't had any big issue. I've only been kicked out of the game once. So, yeah, game's a lot of fun. I love the universe. It's definitely BioWare's writing. It is all over it.
Yeah.
It's fun. I really can't say much more than that. Funny enough, there's a lot of people. I've realized there's basically three categories of people when it comes to Anthem. There's those like me who love it. All right. There's those who absolutely despise it. And then there are those who think that they're supposed to hate it, but end up liking it in spite of themselves. It is, I don't really know how to describe it, but, you know, like, there's this one article, this one piece that was written on Game Informer about one of them wrote, is like, I don't know why, but I love this game. And he's like, you know, all of this stuff, this game has all of these problems, and yet in spite of myself, I still find myself coming back and playing it for hours at a time. So, yeah. Yeah, it's, like I said, this game I am predicting is going to be one of, if not the most divisive game of 2019.
And then there's me, who has no strong feelings about it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You might actually be the perfect candidate for this game, because you're just going into it as kind of like, it might be a game I enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sure made a good account of itself at E3.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, and it looks gorgeous, too. The game, when it's, everything's going well, the graphics are just absolutely beautiful. I've had a little bit of stuttering, but not much.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good game. So, other than that, I've decided to, I had a bunch of, credit left over at GameStop, so I figured, fuck it. So I went and got DOA 6. This afternoon. I've gotten to play it for a little bit, and yeah, it's great. And yeah, it's a great fighting game. It's
and
basically
Team Ninja.
Yeah, it's arguably one of the best game, one of the best in the series so far. You know, people made a lot of big deal about the fact that they were toning down the fan service.
No, they didn't.
Not really. They just kind of
did it.
Yeah, they kind of sort of pushed it off to the corner. Hmm. And he's like, you know, kind of pretended it wasn't there. And yes, the Jigglies is back too, so yeah. It's still there. But you know, they've tried to sort of kind of rejigger the system so that it's a bit more friendly to newcomers. Because if you've played DOA games up to this point. The thing about DOA is, although it is famous for the fan service, it also has a really solid, you know, system underneath it.
Yeah, but I think since DOA 2 Hardcore or DOA 2 Ultimate,
yeah,
they did a really good job of trying to nudge it toward competitive legitimacy.
Yeah, but what happened is that it got a little too complicated. So yeah. I guess they decided, all right, we're going to try and ease back a bit and make this a bit friendlier for newcomers.
DOA 5 did have a lot of feature creep.
Yeah.
Totally did.
Fantastic game. I'll defend it to the death, but feature creep is real.
Yeah. And, you know, game's great. Just, you know, wish Ninja Team Ninja weren't a bunch of fucking meatheads.
Can we blame Team Ninja or is it Koei Tecmo that we should be blaming?
Whoever called the shots at the Evo Japan presentation and, basically, wanted to act like they were not altogether certain about, about the tournament community's money, so they went back toward the incel dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's call it what it is.
Hmm. Yeah.
It was like they didn't have the confidence that they needed to have in the tournament community, so they decided they were going to go back to marketing the game toward pale, friendless virgins.
Yeah, remember, she kicks high?
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's basically been their message since Evo Japan.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's still a great game, so, it is. You know.
And that's in a way, that's the sad part, because it's a great game, and that's going to get overshadowed by
marketing.
Yeah.
And the season pass.
Yeah, which is almost $100.
They should not have called that the season pass.
Yeah, that's more just, like, bulk price, man.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all of the DLC, basically, up to this point.
Yeah.
In a very DOA5-like package. So this is not unprecedented, but the fact that they were bundling characters and costumes together is a little more egregious.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some some big, famous, big in more ways than one playable characters in DO6 are locked behind the DLC wall. So, you know, Neo Tango is not available just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. It's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm seeing it for $4.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'll get it then.
Yeah.
By the way, I always wondered who.
I got it free for pre-ordering.
Oh, yeah. I didn't pre-order, so. Yeah. But Neo Tango, found, you know, I always wondered, like, what her backstory was, and I found out, oh, she's like a Tingo spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what she is. Which suddenly made all the sense in the world, because otherwise, if she was a human, she would just have no spine left. She would just straight tip over.
It's true.
Like, in a game series that is famous for the female fighters having generous busts, she is... Let's just say that she crossed
uniquely top heavy.
Yeah, her boobs crossed the finish line about 5 minutes before she did. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, unbalanced. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Although she does have those wings, so maybe that.
Yeah, she can fly. Support, so.
So.
But anyway, so other than that, my usual reading. Nothing really to add to that. And other than that, the weather sucks. It has been raining off and on for the past 2 weeks. No fucking, just no regular weather at all. And we're fixing to have an early summer, which for someone like me with serious hay fever, yeah. I mean, not an early summer, an early spring.
Yeah.
But yeah. But that's pretty much been me. So, anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Nothing coming to mind.
Nope, I'm good.
No, all right. Weather's okay. We're just doing that thing where it is like 20 degrees when you wake up, and then it gets up to like 35.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
like
it's freezing cold, and by the time it actually gets to a decent temperature, it's like, oh god, I'm sweating. I gotta take everything off.
See, over here we had the steady rain, but by night it was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
So for not this past week, but the week before that, my driveway has basically been a strip of NHL quality ice, which has made going to work very interesting.
Mm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're gonna get some skis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although if we need to play a pickup game, well, we know where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not now because it's all melted.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, quick question: who here remembers that song "Land Down Under"?
Oh God.
From Men at Work.
I do mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, it's one of those songs that came out in the early '80s during the. For those who don't know, in the early to mid '80s, for some reason, there was an Australian craze.
Yeah.
You know, Crocodile Dundee came out.
Yeah, that was a thing.
And all of a sudden, everybody was obsessed with Australia. Which, weirdly enough, that movie always portrayed Australians like they were some type of evolutionary throwback or something. Who had never been exposed to a car before. It makes no damn sense, but there you go. So you may remember that part in that song where, he comes up, the guy, he's 6'4" and full of muscle, and he says, "Do you speak of my language?" Which, first of all, yeah.
English.
And then he smiles, and then what does he give him? He gives him a Vegemite sandwich. And suddenly everybody in America was like, "What's a Vegemite? Isn't a sandwich? Can I get it from McDonald's?"
And tragically, some of them found out.
Yeah. So, to finally put that question to rest,
Don't try Vegemite. This has been a public service announcement.
I'm gonna tell you exactly what Vegemite is. Okay, so we're all beer lovers, right? We like a good beer. Now, when you brew
I'm
a
drunk
beer,
right now.
yeah. Now, when you brew beer, or really a lot of other any other kind of alcoholic beverage that involves yeast of some kind, you're left with some byproducts, some things that are left over after the process is finished. One of these is yeast extract, just leftover yeast extract, because you've got, you brewed up the beer, you got your hops, your yeast, your barley, all that stuff in there, and it's all done, and now you got all this yeast, leftover yeast crap left over. And suddenly a bunch of people were sitting around and thinking, "Well, what the hell am we supposed to do with all this shit?" Well, way back in the early 20th century, some German asshole named Justus von Liebig, who was a chemist, discovered that if you were to take a this yeast extract and you could actually concentrate it down into a dark, sticky, vitamin-rich paste. Now, Herr Liebig, for the record, is also the guy that gave us meat extract, which is where you get stuff like bouillon cubes and stuff like that. So he decided, "Hey, I did that for meat so I could get nice vitamins. Let's do it for this yeast extract." So he came up with the idea of putting all this stuff together, adding some additives and some additional spices and seasonings into it. And basically, he came up with what we know as yeast extract. Then, later on in 1922, this guy named Cyril Percy Callister in Melbourne, Victoria, 1922, he came up with the, he took, ran with the idea that Herr Liebig had come up with, and he created his own recipe for a type of yeast extract, and that ended up being what we call Vegemite. And that's what it is. It looks like a jar of Nutella, but no, it is not Nutella.
It doesn't quite taste like Nutella.
Oh, it is the farthest goddamn thing from Nutella. So, what is Vegemite specifically, and what do you do with it? Well, like I said, it's a yeast extract that is made into a food spread. Now,
Allegedly.
allegedly. Now, according to Australians who swear up and down that we stupid Yanks are doing it all wrong every time we try and taste this stuff, what you're supposed to do is get a couple of pieces of bread, toast it, or it could be crumpets or cracker biscuits or whatever. Toast it. And then after that, you're supposed to get some butter. Spread butter liberally, and then take about a small pea size amount of the Vegemite with a butter knife out of the jar, and then spread it thinly across the bread. And that's how you're supposed to eat it. Apparently, we Yanks are too stupid to not glob this shit on there. And that's basically what you do. There's also some variations. They have something called tiger toast, which is when you add melted cheddar cheese with the Vegemite. They have something called cheesy rolls, which are basically where you take some flatbread and you roll up cheese and Vegemite into a little cheesy scroll. And then, of course, there's something that generations of Australians have gotten off on, which is trying to find stupid Americans getting off the plane at the airport and saying, hey, you want to try some Australian chocolate?
That's like calling wasabi mint sauce.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's also a variant called Cheesy Bite, which is Vegemite with a quote-unquote cheese sauce mixed into the mixture.
Hmm.
It's also used as a, I hate this term, an umami bomb for various soups, stews, pasta sauces, because it's loaded with glutamates, so it has that meaty mouthfeel flavor. So you put a spoonful of this in a soup, and supposedly it makes it better than God, but just look at this shit, man! And the thing is, this isn't the only one kind out there. Because the UK has their own version of this shit called Marmite.
Which I have had.
Yeah. Not gonna...
Well, I actually like it. I'll just leave that there.
I'd just like to inform everybody that this is Phil's last time on his show as he has recently been fired from a cannon. But no, actually, I've actually had Marmite myself, and yeah, if you do it properly, it is good. Here, but I have noticed that there is a distinct difference flavor-wise between the two.
Yeah, I haven't had Vegemite, but Marmite is not bad.
Yeah, Marmite actually is slightly sweeter.
Hmm.
Like, just a bit. You can definitely notice it. Whereas Vegemite, it's kind of like... How to put it? It's kind of like sucking on the end of a salt shaker.
Yum.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that's Vegemite. And now you know that whenever some dude, you know, talking Australian with a suspicious jar comes up to you, just stay far, 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 far away.
Or aggro him.
Or aggro, yeah. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Mm.
All right.
Best with toast.
Mm-hmm. Now... As always, we have to start off the show proper, and as always, we start off with our asshole of the week. Believe it or not, no, it is not Michael Cohen. That is somebody else. Actually, it's a assholes of the week, because it's a whole goddamn town. Specifically, a town in Germany. See, this family had some outstanding debts that they needed to pay, and as is what happens in most liberal capitalist countries, if you have a debt, but you don't have, like, actual cash on hand... They will try to seize any property that they think is somehow cash equivalent. So, like, you know, if you know, you got a mortgage or something you can't pay, they'll seize the house or whatever. These assholes, for whatever reason, decided to seize this family's family dog and then try to sell it on eBay to pay for the debt.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the city of Aulin.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pet pug, a pedigreed pet pug.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they say obtaining the proceeds of the sale through a private eBay account was a very questionable decision by the enforcement officer.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're doing an internal investigation. It cannot be ruled out that in some cases staff members can sometimes make a misjudgment. Yeah, so they seized the dog in November, allowed it to remain for a few days. Until they got a new owner. And the reason this kind of gained recent attention is that the buyer complained they were advertised a healthy and pedigreed pug, but was actually suffering a massive eye injury, requiring several surgeries exceeding $2,000, which is quite a bit more than the $850 price they paid for it. As a policewoman, I don't know where, probably another town in Germany, I think it is. But yeah, it was a one-year-old pug named Edda. She was skeptical about the low price, believing that it would probably sell for about $2,000 normally.
Mm-hmm.
But the city worker reassured her that the animal was healthy and would go to the first buyer who could pay. So she decided to take him up on the offer. And she figured out it wasn't quite what they were selling about a week later. And basically is suing the city for the $2,000 plus what she originally paid for it. So essentially, the city would be out of all of the money.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, just that's a weird ass story.
Yeah, it's just like, goddamn, fucking leave him alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fine. I think there was a rumor that initially they were looking to sell the wheelchair that the one owner had.
Mm-hmm.
They were using. And it's like, you guys need to find other ways to, you know, find people or get money from them without selling, you know, things they need to get around. And family members, essentially, with dogs. Because otherwise you just look like an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we got our hero of the week, or rather heroine of the week. And that heroine of the week is Miss Toni Harris, who this week became the very first football player female woman. God, I worded that wrong. Female football player to actually sign a letter of intent to a university as a non-kicker.
Yep. It's for Central Methodist University in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be playing a safety there.
Yep.
And yeah, she'll be starting in the fall.
All right. Nice. So is she going to be like playing in actual college football?
Yeah. I think they are Division II, I think.
Yeah. That is badass. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm glad shit like this is starting to happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the idea of gender segregated sports is something I've always found rather stupid.
Yeah.
But
definitely do not look up comments for this sort of thing.
Yeah, I know.
Because people are like, oh, she's going to get killed.
You know, comment sections are carcinogen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ignore it.
Man, like, she's not going to make it to the NFL and all that stuff. It's like, people made longer trips to the NFL than this.
Yeah.
But also, you know, she's not exactly going to a high school.
Yeah.
This sort of stuff. Yeah.
You know, this isn't like Notre Dame or anything, man.
No. But yeah, I think
But if you're a Division II safety, you can smear some people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was originally playing in East LA College.
Mm-hmm.
In California for the past two seasons, and now go over to Central Methodist.
Yep.
She's not the first woman that's been in college football. There have been a couple kickers.
Mm-hmm.
And some that weren't on scholarship, so don't technically count for this sort of scholarship offer kind of thing. But otherwise, yeah. She was recently came into the spotlight. She was featured in a Toyota commercial during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of those featuring a lot of people breaking ground for that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Like I said, I'm glad that these barriers are being broken.
Yep.
Because and I hope I get to see the day that, you know, gender segregated sports become a thing of the past. So.
Yeah. And I'm surprised it's not more of a thing in like baseball where there's almost no physical contact between, you know, players, really.
Oh, fuck. Don't tell them that.
I know there's some in minor leagues, mm-hmm. but it's usually not any, like, major mm-hmm. teams in there. But, yeah, it's like, hey, here's one sport where, you know, the physical difference between men and women is not really as much of an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen with some of the best players in the sport. There's one that's like somewhere like 6'7", 6'8", standing next to I think it's his second baseman, who's mm-hmm. like 5'7". People have seen them next to each other on the base. And it's like, yeah, if you want to see the complete difference in size that can happen in this sport. Two guys that are probably a good 100 pounds, full foot difference. Mm. It's kind of crazy.
All right. Alrighty then. Well, next up, we got a bit of sad news to announce. Actress Megan Albach, who some of you may know her for being a voice actor for Full Metal Alchemist on Attack on Titan. She sadly passed away this week at the age of 44. So yeah, it's sad, unfortunate. But I mean, obviously, those weren't the only things she worked on. She was also in
No.
Evangelion 1.0, One Piece, Fairy Tail, Prince of Jellyfish, bunch of very popular series, and she will be missed.
Prolific.
Sounds like she was, yeah, very prolific anime voice actor. No, that's not much older than me.
Well, her work will live on, so.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, all right, we're here to the part you're all been waiting for. This week, President Donald Trump's former fixer and as of Wednesday, disbarred lawyer Michael Cohen had a public testimony in front of a House Oversight Committee where he basically just threw all the dirt out that he could.
Yep.
He
It was
also
pretty glorious.
he brought checks, he brought receipts. Yes, he re yes, Donald Trump really did pay off Stormy Daniels, and he's got the receipts and the check to prove it. He more or less confirms the story that was in Fire and Fury, if you remember that book now, that basically Trump never really intended to win. I mean, he wanted to win because, of his ego and everything, but he kind of also had like a backup plan. Like this was going to be like a big infomercial for him. So who wants to go first?
The thing I definitely saw that was readily apparent is the Republican members of the party had no interest in asking anything meaningful. Especially, I liked seeing the GOP Twitter count on that day, if I can find it. It was basically like calling him a liar and a fraud. People rightfully pointed out, so why was he your deputy finance chair on the RNC if he was such a bad person?
Should also point out what he was convicted of lying about.
Yeah, he lied to Congress.
That he lied to Congress that Trump did nothing wrong. So, yeah.
So why is Trump still in the White House?
Because of the way that impeachment processions go, basically, an impeachment doesn't actually mean that he's automatically kicked out. What an impeachment means is that it begins the process to whether or not he will be kicked out.
It sort of goes to trial.
It's like the charge and the conviction. Kind of thing.
If the impeachment is made, then that means that the Senate ha and House and the Senate have to meet again within, I think it's like 48 hours in order to vote on whether or not to convict him. In which case, if that goes through, then he is immediately escorted from the White House, and Mike Pence immediately becomes president.
Which carries with it its own set of issues, but
Well, keep in mind, if he does manage to, he only has 1 year.
yeah.
So, because
And
I'm
lame
honest.
duck would be an understatement.
But amongst other things, one of the big things you get is Michael Cohen, whether cynically or truthfully, is trying to sort of redeem himself in the eyes of, everybody, I guess. He claims that what he said, what it was that finally got him to turn. He named things like Charlottesville, other stuff, said that finally horrified him to the point that he could no longer morally support it. But yeah, I take that with as big a grain of salt as can be humanly made. He also something he actually pointed out. He said during all of the questioning he was getting from the Republican representatives, not one of them asked a question about Donald Trump. Their whole plan was to try and undermine any case he might have.
Yeah, and he even pointed that out, like, it's not worth defending this guy.
Yeah.
I bet they
All
weren't
it's gonna do
expecting him to
is.
call them out on it.
No,
Well,
but
at this
also.
point, he doesn't really have a lot to lose. I mean, he's about to
No.
go to jail for 10 years, so.
Yeah. And like the constant attacks, like, oh, you lied, you know, you're a liar, all this stuff. It's like, he lied because he was paid to protect
Yeah.
people.
And again, he's got the receipts
Yeah.
and the
And
checks,
it's like
so.
he has no reason to really lie anymore. Because it's only making things worse if he keeps it up.
And he basically warned him, he's like, look, you keep going to bat for this guy, you're going to end up in the same situation I am right now. Like, it ain't worth it.
Yep. Yeah, you said here, it's that sort of behavior that I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for your silliness because I did the same thing that you're doing now for 10 years. I can only warn people. The more more people that follow Mr. Trump as blindly as I did, the more people are going to follow the same consequences that I'm suffering.
Yeah. Now, you'll notice the one big thing that never got brought up during this, which is Michael Cohen never mentioned anything about any Russia collusion.
No,
At
he did
least
mention WikiLeaks.
he did mention WikiLeaks, but that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
So that brings up the question, was there any actual collusion during the campaign? Or was there any collusion until after he went into office? And that's sort of where the question is.
Yeah, I suspect that probably the reason he didn't talk about that was probably Mueller tapped him on the shoulder and goes, "We've still got stuff to say there. Just don't mention it right now."
Don't mention it. We can make it worth your while, dude.
I
We
mean,
can
also,
bump
this
that 10
was.
years down to an 8.
And also, as much as this seemed like this is the big public day, there were 2 other days he was also doing
Yeah, he had private testimony as
testimony.
well,
Yeah.
off camera.
Sort of like how when Comey went to do his thing, he kept mentioning, like, I can't mention go any further until we talk privately. That sort of
There
stuff,
was,
so.
however, one big thing that was different this time around. And that this time we had a certain representative from the state of New York on the committee, Mrs. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was pretty much one of, if not the only person on that committee who was actually asking questions to actually build a case instead of any kind of political theater. She only had 5 minutes and she got right to the point.
Yeah, she went for the jugular.
And if you have not had a chance to watch that, get a chance, because she basically is like, okay, where would this money come from? It comes from Trump org. Who would be responsible for that money? What is it you? Said no, that would be annual. That would be Alan Weiss. What's his name? Weisselberg. Where would we be able to get those receipts? It would be at the Trump organization. Just rapid fire like that, straight to the point. She's going to be president one of these days. I'm absolutely calling it. Because she went into that to do her job.
Well, yeah, at least somebody's on the ball over there.
And everybody noticed how specifically how different her part was to everyone else. It was like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the others also asked some good questions, but she was the only one who got straight to the point.
Yeah, she wasn't grandstanding. She was just
No.
going for it.
Yeah, and she's been also just a constant topic this week because I think she announced that she raised the wages of her staff, and lowered, I think, her chief of staff, so that the bottom pay grade was a livable wage. And people are like, oh, that's socialism, all that shit. And it's like, no, these people are working for me. I want them to be paid a livable wage,
They
not to
are
work two
so
jobs.
desperate to pin something on her. Like the day they announced that she had won her election, they have desperately tried to do something, anything that they can do.
Yeah.
And both sides are guilty of it because even the Democratic Party, the party establishment's trying to undercut her and
yeah.
Already talking about trying to find a primary opponent for her next term.
Yeah. But, you know, she, and also she's, unlike most of the other people in the House and the Congress, she's not spending hours out of her day to try and raise like $150,000 every day from donors or whatever. She's actually doing her job. She's yeah. basically, she's been said that she's basically at every committee hearing, no matter how minor. So my one fear is that she'll experience burnout, but hell.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she's going to run for president one day, and she has a damn good chance of winning.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. There was another good part. It's just at the end when Elijah Cummings was doing his like closing statements.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of talking to Cohen, basically saying, let's see. Yes, I had the. Yeah, let me tell you the picture that really, really pained me. Mm-hmm. You were leaving the prison, you were leaving the courthouse, and I guess it's your daughter had braces on or something.
Yeah.
Man, that thing hurt me.
Yeah.
As a father of two daughters, it hurt me, and I can imagine how it must feel for you, but I'm just saying to you, I want to, first of all, thank you. Mm-hmm. I know that this has been hard, I know that you face a lot, I know that you're worried about your family. This is a part of your destiny, and hopefully this portion of your destiny will lead to a better Michael Cohen, a better Donald mm-hmm. Trump, a better United States of America, and a better world. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. Basically talking about Trump is lying at such a rate that none of this is normal for what yeah. how this is all supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to get to a point where we are back on the normal. Back where you know you can reasonably trust that people have the right motivations for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a disagreement between what you're aiming for, but right now it's just a lot of mm-hmm. misdirection, you know, lies, all that sort of stuff. Just trying to push a general message of, you know, these guys are evil, even though they're all working towards the same point, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make things better. That's yeah. how it used to be. This government used to work. It lasts like 10, 15 years. Things changed.
Mm-hmm.
Once the Tea Party people realize, you know what?
A third this goes party back to Newt Gingrich in 94.
Yeah. Like a and third party of people can break the whole system that's designed for two.
Mm-hmm. And well, for the record, you should never, but we should have never had a, it should never be reduced to a two-party system in the first place.
Yeah.
That's not how a democracy is supposed to work. But this sort of proved just how the big, massive flaw of such a system in the first place. So,
yeah.
And when you have a party that, you know, becomes aware of the flaws, mm-hmm. actively tries to exploit them yeah. to the degree that they have.
Yeah.
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 And that has been their, basically their mantra for the last 30 years.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm going to say it, that like, a lot of people probably aren't going to like this, but I actually think Michael Cohen was actually scared straight.
It's yeah. possible. Yeah. Look, I'm not cynical enough to the point that I don't think that no one is redeemable, is completely yeah. irredeemable.
Yeah. Because I think the way he did things, he expected the powerful people he worked for to back him up and protect him.
Yeah.
And then when that didn't happen, he realized, this is all a sham.
He's basically, you know, he's basically Henry Hill in Goodfellas. You know, once he yeah. finally got to the point he realized none of these guys were going to actually back him up.
They're only there for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either, well, okay, I either do something else or I'm going into the sewer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, anyway. But yeah, we're probably going to be dealing with the fallout of this for the next couple weeks. Really the only other, there are only two other major events I can think of that will be coming that will equal it as far as its impact is concerned. Because I want to make everyone be clear. Michael Cohen's testimony basically laid open some serious crimes and misdemeanors on the part of Trump and his organization. Not just him, but also his kids.
Yep.
One is, and I know they're already working on this, subpoenaing the Trump org for his tax returns. And that one.
Well, Ocasio-Cortez got that basically single-handedly.
Yeah. And finally, the other one is Mueller finally wraps up his report.
Yeah.
Which is really can happen any day now. Although getting Roger Stone kind of increased the timeline a bit.
I think he's kind of basically said, this guy is too fucked up. We can't do anything with this. as he's like dressing like the Penguin in the original Batman series.
Yeah. Well, this is the dude who has Richard Nixon's face tattooed on his back. So
yeah. Yeah, yeah, and anyways. The thing people found out is that Chad Johnson, former Cincinnati Bengals receiver, is a neighbor of his. And so, like, when this whole thing's going down, CNN's, like, interviewing him because they found out, oh, he lives here. He's like, I don't know. I was going for a run, and they're taking Roger away in the cop car. This is crazy. It's like, oh, he knows Roger Stone enough to be on a first name basis, and also be in a rich enough neighborhood where he's the black guy not getting arrested randomly.
Yeah. But if you want to know all you want to know about Roger Stone, if you got a Netflix subscription, just watch Get Me Roger Stone, which is the documentary on him that was made right around the time of the Trump campaign. And it'll reveal you just the type of person he is, which is shockingly amoral to a degree that I did not think was humanly possible. And not only shockingly amoral, but is absolutely unashamed to flaunt it. Anyway. All right, so with that out of the way, the other stories we got to the night. First off, Washington Governor Jay Inslee became the newest person to join the 2020 presidential race. This time, he's going on a climate change focus.
Yeah, which is probably the biggest issue that nobody's really talking about.
Yeah.
Because we essentially have like a 10-year deadline. And his next president has the powers to help us curb the effects as much as we can, because it's already here. People think it's cold out, so how can global warming be real? It's like climate is
called read a fucking book.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
No,
it means the weather events are going to be more crazy and chaotic. Those fires. Those are weather, global warming and all that. Because it decreased the amount of rain they got. Made the brush a lot drier, made it easier for it to catch fire and spread throughout huge parts of that state. And guess what? Now there's a huge bill to pay for it. And the company that's in charge of all that, they can't afford it. And it's going to be going on all over the place. New Orleans is going to be underwater. They need to be putting up seawalls if they want to keep the city. I was watching Casino Royale recently. It's like, oh yeah, this whole there's a bit in Venice where there's a house that just has literal air tanks to keep the buildings up afloat. And they decided, hey, let's just shoot and destroys them. And the house just starts singing. It's like, oh yeah, this is 13 years ago. As if the phones weren't the obvious thing signaling that stuff, but like, yeah, this whole city is completely fucked. They have to just completely invest in new technology and to try and keep their city where it is instead of underwater, like it should be.
All right. So next up, yet another far right wing grifting asshat has finally gotten his comeuppance. Jacob Wall, you may remember him as the douchebag who tried to get that false sexual assault charge on Robert Mueller. He has been permanently banned from Twitter.
Yep.
After USA Today did a whole expose on him that basically showed that, yeah, he's a fraud.
Yeah, he admitted to essentially hiring a woman for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wouldn't go through at the last moment. That's why she was not at the press conference that they still held for some reason, even after everybody figured out what was going on. But he also said that, yeah, he runs a botnet, a Twitter botnet that, you know, creates a bunch of fake accounts to try to essentially just shitpost all over the place.
Yep.
And said he was going to do the same for the 2020 election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if you want to keep that going, you probably don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Especially to a major news paper.
Organization, yeah, that might not be a great idea.
Be frowned upon.
We're not.
He's not the smartest person.
Making judgments of his intelligence at this point.
Mm. No, you made those judgments long ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, so as soon as this came out, Twitter's like, okay, well, you're banned permanently because you're violating our rules.
So basically, it takes to get any kind of asshat. You know, jerk, face, idiot, banned from Twitter. It takes an expose from a major newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It also shows that, bots for social media are a thing, and they are specifically used for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you've ever gone to, like, a video on, I'd say, YouTube, and you've noticed that the like bar is weirdly lopsided in a way that that doesn't make any sense. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, or random nobodies on Twitter have like thousands of followers.
Yeah.
Usually they don't really seem to be saying or doing anything of importance.
Mm-hmm.
They may well be paying for followers.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. But yeah, Twitter's been trying to crack down on the bots, which ends up with people looking at their follower numbers like dropping at points. And yeah, it's good they're finally cracking down on that. Probably should have happened a little bit earlier.
All right.
But yeah, one last dumbass on Twitter.
Yeah. Next up in just what the fuck news. The first lady and wife of the governor of Virginia, Mrs. Pam Northam, met up with some young African-American kids during a tour of the, I guess it was the governor's mansion.
Yeah.
And she offered them cotton.
Yeah, basically talking about, you know, saying they used a variety of artifacts and agricultural crops with the intention of illustrating a painful period of Virginia history.
Yeah.
And guys, you know, this is what... this is what black people had to work with. Handing it to the black kids. Okay.
It's like, you know, it's like swing and a miss, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you can kind of see the kernel of logic there, but something's not quite right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know if the tour head was all just black kids or what, but it's like... maybe don't.
Yeah.
Maybe or, you know,
better yet, you know, have maybe, I don't know, a person who's African-American who works for you or, you know, works in the governor's mansion or somebody who specializes in that part of Virginia's history.
Yeah.
You know, let them do this kind of tour.
And if maybe they're smart enough to say, you know what, fuck this.
Yeah.
We don't need to deal with these assholes.
Yeah. Wow.
We
talked about the how messed up stuff in Virginia last week, but kind of a continuation of that.
Yeah. God damn it, Virginia. Seriously. Whatever. All right. Next up, we now know, of course, for a fact that the midterm election in North Carolina was in fact fraudulent.
Yeah.
And we now know that for a fact. It has been proven. And
I think the guy that was behind it Has been charged with tampering, and I think they're looking into more charges.
Yeah. And Mark Harris, the North Carolina GOP candidate who quote-unquote won that election, tried to do everything he possibly could to not have it investigated, to desperately beg them to get the have the election certified so he could become, you know, the, what was it, senator reps?
I think it's rep. It's the
rep.
Ninth district of North Carolina.
Until finally they actually looked into it, and then suddenly they found evidence of fraud, and he's like, oh, I got nothing. I didn't know nothing about it, but I'm an honorable person, and therefore I shall sit out the next election.
Yeah, because he had surgery.
Yeah.
He had surgery scheduled for March.
Yeah.
So decided, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Weird coincidence, because I know you don't schedule... You schedule surgery is pretty far out. So just coincidentally, it benefits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Of getting this scumbag out of there.
Hmm. It's not worth it seems to be a running trend right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He cites his health situation. It's like, no, you could run with, you know, what you're doing, but... you know, it's better for your rep to not push it any further.
Yeah.
Because it's already not in great shape.
Yeah. going.
Yeah, I don't know when they're doing the new election.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in the fall?
All right. Next up.
This is what happens.
Next up, daughter of the president, Ivanka Trump, tried to take part in the newest sport of the Republican Party, which is to try and take a hit at AOC. And she failed miserably. Because apparently she hasn't figured out yet that it's not worked. None of it has worked.
Well, this is white privilege to a T.
Yeah. Oh, God. She says, like, I don't think Americans want to be just given things. Americans want to work for stuff and earn things.
It's like they are working, and they're not getting enough in return.
Yeah.
That's why minimum wage is still at $7.25.
Yep.
Because the rich have realized, hey, we keep it down, we get more money off of them.
Yeah. And, of course, she specifically did this to take aim at AOC and her Green New Deal and her, you know, wanting to raise the minimum wage across the board. Yeah. And, of course, AOC did exactly what she's been doing pretty much since she stepped into office, which is she basically backhanded it back to her.
Yeah, so here's what Ivanka said. I've spent a lot of time traveling around this country over the last 4 years. People want to work for what they get, so I think this idea of a guaranteed minimum is not something most people want. That's the minimum wage. That's what they call it.
That's what it's called.
They want the ability to be able to secure a job. They want the ability to live in a country where there's potential for upward mobility. Yeah, raising the minimum wage doesn't change that.
Mm-hmm.
It just actually helps that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Helps them feel like they don't have to cling to the job
mm-hmm.
as much as they do now, or do multiple jobs if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as AOC responded, as a person who actually worked for tips and hourly wages in my life, instead of having to learn about it secondhand,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that most people want to be paid enough to live.
Yep.
Living wage isn't a gift, it's a right. Workers are often paid far less than the value they create.
Mm-hmm.
And she also added, imagine attacking a jobs guarantee by saying people prefer to earn money. And, yes. She wrote in a separate tweet, in fact, wages are so low today compared to actual worker productivity that they are no longer the reflection of worker value as they used to be. Productivity has grown 6.2 times more than pay.
Mm-hmm.
You work a lot harder than you used to have to for what you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as, you know, responsibilities tend to get consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, why do we need two people to do this when we can have one person do the job with two people?
Mm-hmm.
Why have two people scheduled to work in this department at the same time we can have one? Half the money.
Yeah.
And we get.
Just make them work harder.
Yeah.
Just. You know, it's amazing how Americans just in general have sort of started to rediscover, you know, the benefits of organized labor just in general. And AOC is a big part of that.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that we've basically been dealing with, you know, that neoliberal trickle down bullshit for some 30, 40 years now. Now that people are finally starting to come around and realize that it's all bullshit, establishment politics really don't fucking know what to do.
No, yeah, they're desperately for all they're worth, but
yeah, they're desperate. They're desperately trying to throw out all the old talking points that they used for the last couple decades, and none of them are sticking.
Yeah, so try to find this meme. It's from one of the. It's one of the guys arguing from the bike, the show where they make the bikes, and they get mad enough and throw chairs at each other.
Yeah,
the chopper show. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the meme from that. That's about socialism, because it is pretty good. Because it's like, oh, you think socialism is so good? What about this? And he's like, that's not socialism. That's capitalism supported by welfare. It's like, well, we should do that. No, that's socialism.
Nothing wrong with socialism, guys.
It's something about
doing socialism.
Yeah, it's like it's just like one of those things. It's like it just shows you how fucked that the American political discourse is. That something that is just like basic and take it for granted over in Canada or Europe is considered like to the left of Mao Zedong. Like,
yeah,
and the hill people are willing to die on.
Yeah, and it's also partly just how work culture is in this country compared to everywhere else. Where we're told, when you get to a new job, it's like, oh, if you're feeling sick, you know, just call off because we don't want you getting everybody else sick. But the moment you actually listen to that, you know the people that are working are like, that fucker's a lazy asshole. Why didn't he come in? And you're like, ah, oh, fuck. You know, the whole notion of, you know, don't get everybody else sick, but damn you if you actually listen to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, we don't take vacations. We don't get vacation much. I don't even remember the last time I've been on a vacation. It wasn't just, you're not working, so you don't do anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's real fucked up compared to a lot of places in Europe where they actually have, like, summer vacation at work.
Or they have, you know, guaranteed maternal leave.
Yeah.
For both the mother and the father. Where if you have a child, you have a guaranteed amount of money that the state pays to you just for having the child. You know, and, you know, their economies are doing just fine. Well, I think they say their economies are doing just fine. Relatively, they're doing just fine, but that's not necessarily their fault.
Yeah, we'll mention that.
That
has so much other baggage.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole we don't have time to go down to today. but anyway, next up, this story is out of Canada. Boyd Banks, the actor and comedian, for reasons that make no goddamn sense. He was having some sort of interview or some sort of thing with this reporter.
I think the reporter was doing a story about like performers that were having concerns about the takeover of a satellite radio system.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it at this comedy club.
And then this dude shows up and he starts licking the dude's ear and neck.
It's being real creepy.
Yeah. It's like, the fuck, man?
It's like, I get, like, standing behind him making weird faces because you're comedians.
Because
there's the other guy that's doing the same thing, but he's not being a weirdo about it.
Yeah. Just what the hell?
You really should draw the line at physical contact.
Yeah.
Just saying.
At least that kind of physical contact.
Yeah, that's not really appropriate in public, but just saying.
Much less on TV.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the guy doing this report, Chris Glover, ended up filing a police report or a police complaint. And basically said, you know what, I'm moving on, but I'm not going to let this drop because this is fucked up.
And what police complaint? It's not charges, but it's basically a note, and it's like note in the cop's file, basically saying,
Knock it off.
if this guy ever gets picked up again, you might want to look at it a little bit more seriously.
It's like like in school, it's like, oh, that's going on your permanent record. And you got a high school in your eyes, that doesn't matter. And he apologized as an excuse for my behavior last night. I'm guilty of everything. I'm an idiot. I want to apologize to the stand-up community in Canada. And of course, the reporter is doing his job. They said he's got his own issues.
You think?
But,
Well, okay. This could have been worse, but it's just one of those
this is
where.
Canada's controversy.
Yeah, this is what we have.
That's their big hullabaloo, and
I wish that was ours.
yeah, I envy our neighbors to the north right about now.
Yeah. I mean, we occasionally get moose that go through Tim Hortons drive-thrus, so that's exciting.
Well, see,
I
because Tim
mean,
Hortons is worth it.
yeah.
I mean, what are they ordering?
I don't
Are
know.
they just getting like a sandwich, or are they actually getting donuts?
Yeah, probably Timbits.
It's
Yeah.
true. But
Like, oh,
anyway.
get some for the road.
And in other news, Nike released a new ad that I don't know if they really thought this one out. Basically, it was about quote unquote crazy women in work and sports, and let's just say it backfired.
I think it only backfired to the sort of people that get angry about the truth, essentially, because it's about the way women are treated in sports in the workplace. Like, oh, they're crying, they're getting too emotional, they're delusional, they're unhinged, crazy, hysterical, irrational, all this stuff. So we had that incident that happened last year with Serena Williams. Sort of getting penalized by the umpire for yelling at him, but she knows like men yell at you guys all the time. There's nothing that happens, and she ended up getting called, you know, crazy, unhinged, all this stuff, and sort of just say, you know, take it all in stride and saying, you know what, I'd show you what crazy can do then. And just saying, you know, dream crazier, I think is the tagline for this.
I like this ad.
It's like, oh, you're calling us crazy. Well, here's what crazy can do. You know, because she had a kid and, like, came back fairly quickly, in a way that no athlete in her sport had ever really had to do before. And it's like doing really well still for having just gone through the amount of physical trauma that childbirth is. And still gets treated worse than even some of her fellow athletes. And it's kind of crazy. But yeah, and then the people that get mad at it are a lot of people that are like acting like, oh, women have it easy compared to like 40 years ago. It's like, no, they still got a lot of ways to go.
Yeah, it's still really shitty.
And the people who complain about that thing are usually
The
have
ones
yeah
involved with it.
Like, if you're
but
getting mad about it, it's probably,
it's
you know,
probably not that, it's probably you. It's a you problem.
It's like
Might
if
want to
you're the
take
one
another
getting
look at
mad,
you.
yeah, it's like if you're the one that's getting offended by this, then it's speaking to the right people.
All right. Oh. Okay. So, next up, we got some tech news. Huawei revealed its Mate X foldable phone for 2,300 euros, which is about
$3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just completely gone insane at this point. We're not; these are not consumer devices anymore.
No, yeah. They are basically show off.
Yeah.
Well, Samsung went $2,000, and I think Huawei was like, "Hey, hold my beer."
Yeah.
They actually made a foldable device where, unlike the Galaxy Fold,
mm-hmm.
I actually would want to carry this one.
Mm.
It's got this weird. It's got kind of like a wing design instead mm-hmm. of so the fold goes over both edges. That's actually freaking nice.
Mm. Yeah.
Software looks good. Looks like a very good implementation. I'm still a little sketchy on the longevity of those of the screen along that fold.
Yeah, especially this one's a lot thinner than the Samsung phone.
Yeah, it's a lot thinner than the Samsung phone, but it does it because it put basically all the electronics in like a little. So it's got some junk in the trunk over there.
It's like a handle.
On the left side, yeah. It's got like that handle there.
Which is also just
most of it.
When you have it folded, that's like it's flat with that, flush with that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It has a real weird aspect ratio. I think it says 8 to 7.1.
Mm. Yep.
Almost a square.
Yep.
When it's folded out.
Mm.
If you're watching movies on it, it's going to have black bars on top and bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little bit weird. Let's see, it has a 4,500 milliamp battery, a combo fingerprint reader power button.
Yep.
Let's see, a brand new Belong 5000 5G modem, because of course, if you're paying like $2,600 for this, it better have 5G in it.
Yeah. You're not paying for it in the US because it's a Huawei phone and you can't buy them in the US.
Yeah, at least not for a while.
Well, it's right now, we've talked
for about political reasons.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, because we're currently in the middle of a trade war with the People's Republic, and
also Phil's country is at war against China because you guys imprisoned the Huawei exec.
Well, yeah, sort of. We kind of did do that, didn't we?
And they're like, "Well, we got Canadians over here. We're keeping for a while." Now, I think you guys are negotiating some sort of trade. I think.
Yeah.
Sending them back.
And it's like, this is one of those things where it's like, God damn it, why did we listen to those fuckers down south?
But yeah, they're also claiming this 5G modem lets you download a 1 gig movie in less than 3 seconds.
Yeah, all right. It would.
Yeah.
If you could actually write the file that fast.
Yeah. It's neat.
Yeah,
I saw that Sony announced their new Xperia that is the first 4K phone.
And it's got that weird camera array.
It has like facial recognition on it or something like that.
Yeah,
they will like focus on your face and like do that stuff that nobody other phone's done so far. But it's like, okay, you got 4K in your pocket. Just make sure you don't go in the wrong parts of town.
Yeah.
Because somebody also will have it.
4K in your pocket is kind of pointless because you're not going to be able to see the definition of that screen anyway. But anyway.
Yeah.
And I also saw TCL announce their foldable phone, and they decided, you know what? We could put it out this year for $1,500 or so, but we're not going to do that. I'm just going to wait a year and then release it when it's like when we can do it for like $600.
Yeah.
Also, they have like the best marketing name for a hinge ever.
Mm-hmm.
TCL's phone's got the Dragon Hinge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would buy a phone just for that.
I think somebody announced a phone that lasts 50 hours on its battery.
Energizer.
Yeah,
it's a brick with a phone attached to it.
It will end up in an evidence room someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, man. Not charging a phone for 2 days would be pretty cool. But also, I'm not using a phone for 2 days straight in any instance.
Yeah.
Not that desperate.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you haven't figured out by now, we've officially passed the serious part of the show.
What do you mean? We're talking about Chinese execs in Canada. Get jailed.
Yeah, well. Anyway, next up, Rotten Tomatoes did something that frankly, they should have done years and years and, God, years ago. They finally figured out that, hey, it's not a good idea to let people post reviews or ratings for movies before they've been released.
Yeah, yeah, that's usually a good idea.
Yeah, insert surprise Pikachu meme here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was kind of under the guise of, you know, how hyped are you for this movie?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, who the fuck cares what the audience is hyped for?
Yeah.
Like, especially to that degree, because people take it way too seriously and started review bombing things.
Yeah.
Before they ever saw anything, because, hey, why not?
Like what happened to Captain Marvel. Which, again,
people
hasn't
are doing
come
this
out yet.
For political reasons. Nine.
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't even have a title. You don't know what's going on with this.
Yeah. So they finally said, okay, fuck it. That feature is no longer available until the movie is released.
Yeah.
But if we were to be perfectly honest, all that means is that they're basically saving it for the day of release.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by that point, it's pointless.
Yeah. Is that everybody's gone out and the studio has your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some way that you could, like, verify that you've actually, you know, paid for a ticket would be the way to kind of solve this problem. Like, the way that Amazon will denote, like, oh, this person bought this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verify purchase. Yeah.
Yeah. Though that's only specific to their account.
Oh. Yeah.
Nothing really prevents you from buying it somewhere else and doing a review on Amazon.
Yeah.
It is true. But, yeah. That's the world we live in now.
It's also like, who gives a shit about user reviews on this thing?
Yeah.
Especially come to this site to find out what movie reviewers have to say.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want general public views, let's search the hashtag on Twitter or Facebook. Yeah. And you'll get the real shit.
I have roughly zero interest in what regular assholes have to say about it.
Yeah.
I'm always weird when people cite Metacritic scores, much less the user scores on those pages.
Yeah.
Because especially there's the whole console warrior thing.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, here's the Sony game. We're going to give it zeros.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's Sony.
Yeah. You thought that shit would have died in the 90s, but nope, it just got worse.
Yep.
They just made it easier.
Yep. Yeah.
It wasn't a dumb forum that you had to go into.
Yeah. All right. Next up, there's going to be a live-action movie based around Viewmasters.
Why?
I don't fucking know.
Let's see, what do they say here? Since the 1940s, Viewmaster has inspired wonder and joy in children of all ages. I don't know how much that is true anymore. I know it was a thing when I was a kid.
I mean, I thought it was awesome when I was three.
Yeah, it's like I had the big red thing you stuck on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at whatever pictures were on it.
Yeah.
Let's see, Viewmaster was the first device that allowed families all over the world to escape their reality and take them places they never thought they could go. That's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, I had books.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are devices.
We had newspapers.
I had encyclopedias. It was Wikipedia before the computer.
There was this brand. There's this new invention you may have heard of. It's called the moving pictures.
Yeah. I watched Star Wars. Like, oh, that's a cool place.
Yeah.
Let's see. We couldn't be more excited to partner with Mattel.
I mean, if Apple can have adventure. Live photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Create a family adventure integrating the old school turn and click stereotypic device with a modern world of VR, virtual reality.
Make it about virtual reality.
Yeah, but see, they're gonna have to push down this handle, and then they're gonna get to the next part of the VR.
Yeah, there is actually a ViewMaster VR viewer that you put your phone into, so I would guess this is kind of taking off on that.
So they're just doing the knockoff version of Ready Player One?
Yeah, I guess. Not going to see. Just I'll just go out on a limb and say not going
to
see it.
I do want to see what the hell this is.
Like, are they going to start optioning greeting cards next? Is that... that going to be a thing?
We're already getting a Tetris movie trilogy, so I wouldn't put that past them at this point.
Yeah, because we had like the Battleship movie.
Oh God.
We did have Clue. That was great.
Yeah.
Like, let me put it this way: you know that the studio system today is so colossally fucked that this is where they have to go to get new ideas.
What brands are left? Viewmaster.
Let's do that. Okay.
What about Pogs? Have they made a Pog movie yet?
No, I don't think so.
That one's free, everybody. Alf.
Yeah, wait for the Alf license to come back into vogue.
Be a couple of years.
Yeah.
Still for that one. But anyways.
What are Pogs, you ask? Stay tuned to find out.
Or go over to Jim Sterling's channel.
Yeah, he is fucking obsessed with them.
Of course, if you grew up poor. Cardboard of disproportionate value.
Yeah. And they had things printed on them.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yep.
I'll explain it more some other time. But
yeah.
Anyway, next up.
It's going to be a Hot Wheels movie.
Mm.
Probably makes sense because they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Then they already have like a cartoon at some. No, actually they didn't. That was actually just their remake of the Valiant French comic. But whatever. Mm. All right. So next up, we got a teaser trailer for BBC's version of Philip Pullman's famous His Dark Materials series.
Man, they got some big names on this.
Mm-hmm.
They got Daphne Keene, Ruth Wilson, James McAvoy, Clark Peters, and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Okay. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Damn, he's in everything now, isn't he?
Yeah. This looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait to see this.
Mm.
Yep.
Book was great, too.
Yeah, books are great. Basically a grown-up, sort of not preachy, atheist version of Narnia.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
With a little Harry Potter thrown in for good measure, you know, like 10 years or something before Harry Potter was a thing. But,
yeah. Yep.
And actual character development.
Yeah. And God is a dick.
Yeah.
And being a BBC show, it won't be stretched out over 10 seasons or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure efficient like that.
Mm-hmm. That book series has been like that whole book series has sort of been the subject of so many, you know, book banning campaigns.
Yeah.
But anyway. So Netflix announced that this fall is coming, they will be having Martin Scorsese's next film, The Irishman. And it basically has the absolute best cast you can think of for a Scorsese movie. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, all of them.
Oh, Harvey Keitel's the other one.
Harvey Keitel's in it.
And I guess they're going to be doing like at least a limited theatrical run.
Yeah, just for Oscar consideration because you know, Roma got robbed this year.
Yeah.
And I guess this is about...
This is basically a big middle finger to the Academy saying, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. We'll get all of the big names and we'll make a really amazing movie and then it will be Oscar-worthy.
See, Anna Paquin's also on it. Bobby Cannavale, Ray Romano also in it.
Yeah.
Look, it's about the story of Frank Sheeran, who was a... it's basically the story of Frank Sheeran and Jimmy Hoffa. If you don't know who Jimmy Hoffa was, he was the head of the Teamsters Union for years, and he got mixed up in organized crime, and he disappeared in the mid-70s, and nobody's been able to find out what happened to him.
Yeah.
He is basically the specter that haunts the nightmares of every boss in America.
Genuinely excited for this movie. It looks amazing.
Yep. That was pretty much all that trailer was all we needed. That trailer, that short voiceover, and those names. And
yeah.
We're good.
Sold.
Done. No money. Oh, I already paid for Netflix. So you're already taking my money. Yes.
Mm. Yep.
Anyway, next up in more Netflix news, They're rebooting yet another property from our childhood, The Babysitter's Club.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
actually, podcast. I might have some information that might make you interested, Brandon.
Okay.
Rachel Schuchert is the showrunner. She worked on Glow.
Oh. Well, in that case, that actually might be cool.
Yep.
Because she fucking knocked it out of the park with Glow.
Yep. Directing is Lucia Aniello, who is on Broad City.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there's some good comedic
Broad City is actually a great show, if you've never watched it.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, so the other people are just... you know, Ann Martin's producer. DreamWorks President is producing all that sort of stuff. But yeah, could be interesting to see if this is something that ends up being a surprise, interesting thing.
Yeah.
Wait. I mean, Netflix has managed to take like all these old properties and somehow make them relevant, which, and they've managed to do it almost without fail every single time.
Yeah.
You know, they did Sabrina, they did She-Ra, you know, they did just all this stuff. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you're not doing it, trying to, like, essentially, like, flip it for a quick buck.
Yeah.
Because they've already sunk the money in. They know you've already sunk the money in. It's a matter of churning out the content that keeps you from unsubscribing.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is going to be a 10-episode dramedy sort of thing. So it's like, hey, you know what? If this is your thing, cool. If not, guess what? There's probably 20 other things that'll be up your alley.
Yeah. And we will be sure to let you know of every single one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just check your notifications. There'll probably be something every day. It's like, hey, you should check this out.
Season 5 of Storage Wars is now available. God,
oh, hey, guess what? Last time you looked, there's 2 seasons of the show you missed.
Yeah.
Better get to work.
Yep.
All right. So. And next up, Penultimate Story for the Night, we got our first trailer for Dark Phoenix, which is...
First proper trailer, yeah.
Yeah, first proper trailer. If you are familiar with the X-Men and the X-Men lore, this is like the... this is like the Crucible. It's like this is from whence all those major, like, franchise-wide and multi-book-wide comic book events stem from. Because, you know, this and the effect it has on the X-Men is ultimately why we have the X-Men of today.
Yep.
Yeah.
It has that big of an effect. But basically what it means is Jean Grey gets possessed by something called the Dark Phoenix and goes fucking evil, and yeah.
Bad shit happens.
Bad, awful shit happens.
Yeah, I want to say they kind of tried it in the first movie trilogy.
Yeah,
I guess
and
what 3
failed.
Was about. Yeah. Then they kind of weirdly rebooted it. Soft rebooted, I guess, because we still had the same... Wolverine and Professor X.
Yeah.
But now there's a new Professor X who happened at the same time. I don't know. It's real weird the way those two kind of halves of the same franchise merged.
Yeah.
While disregarding large chunks of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you follow the timeline that they present, it makes no sense.
Yeah, well, if you try to slot it into the regular MCU at this point, it's not going to make any goddamn sense because contractually,
yeah, they're
they
not
couldn't
even
have fitted in. But
trying that at all.
Yeah, now that Disney is going to be owning Fox in the next, well, that deal should
at some point.
At some point soon, they might actually be able to start merging this stuff.
And yeah,
maybe we'll have
this. This would actually be an appropriate way to close the book on the Fox X-Men franchise.
Yeah.
And this also seems like Fox, like, fuck, we have no idea what else to do with this.
Yeah.
Got to keep pumping out movies and shows.
That are awful. Well, some of them are good.
Yeah.
Most of them are awful.
To be fair, this trailer didn't look bad. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kind of indecipherable unless you know exactly what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, stuff blows up. She causes shit. And then there's Cyclops and Beast.
Yeah.
And the old X-Men uniforms.
Okay, that's a thing that happened, and I am I'm hesitant, but giving a bit it the benefit of the doubt
Yeah.
until
And finally, last story of the night, we got the second major trailer for Detective Pikachu.
and my brain hurts.
I am now that much more more ready to see the movie now.
Yeah,
Because
if you need to see more of like what do Pokemon do in this society,
yeah.
you got all of that.
Yeah.
What would they look like if you encountered one in real life? And the answer is goddamn terrifying.
Yep.
Which, I mean, let's be honest. If that was the truth, if Pokemon actually existed, it would basically be the fucking apocalypse.
Yeah.
As Pokemon Go players have recently been discovering while doing AR photos, some of these guys are huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Charizard is a dragon.
Yes.
He is just straight up a dragon. A
Yeah.
full-sized dragon, might I
Yeah.
add.
And it
So,
grows up from a little lizard.
yeah. And that little lizard was already fairly large.
Yeah.
But, they're not all Pikachu size.
No.
In fact, I don't even think Charizard is the largest Pokemon there is. I think there's actually one or two more that are bigger than he is.
I'll just Google that biggest Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
Probably get
what
like
really.
Wailord or something.
Giratina.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, what really sort of shit put this into overdrive was Mewtwo making an appearance.
Oh no, the biggest one's Wailord.
Yeah,
47 feet,
I
7
knew it.
inches.
And it can mate with a Skitty.
Yep. All
I don't even
right.
want
Sweet dreams.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of like mega versions and primal versions of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Steelix, there's an Onix, Rayquaza, Giratina, a Hoopa Unbound. It's 21 feet tall.
Yeah, but
And a Gyarados.
basically the point is, yeah, Mewtwo showed up, which makes people wonder if this is actually going to be closely following the plot of the Detective Pikachu game,
Yeah,
because
probably
Mewtwo
to a
is a
degree.
Because Mewtwo is a significant part of that game's story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I do see, was it Cubone?
Cubone's in there.
The Pokemon that canonically kills its mother, and that's the skull that it's wearing.
Yep.
Somehow this species keeps procreating when there's only one child per mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of them come together to make a baby, and one of them is killed, the one that procreates. I don't know how this species exists, but.
See, you get the, when you realize like the first original 190 Pokemon, you realize that none of them really expected to make another game after this.
Yeah.
They'll talk about their newest creations on Sunday.
Yes.
But I do like
We
the
had a lot
appearance
of
of the
stuff to talk about
Pikachu.
on Sunday,
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind
including
games
a
dropping like a
certain
top.
major studio showing up on a certain,
And it gets
image
worse every
forum
day
that
that
they
nothing
shouldn't have
happens.
shown up at.
Yeah.
And somehow it's worse the more you think about it
Oh,
and
it gets
nothing
worse and
happens.
worse and worse.
Yeah.
It's a rabbit hole.
We will talk about it, I think, on
Yeah.
Sunday.
But until then.
But I do like the notion of them showing like a cage fight between Pokemon.
See, because I always thought that that was that I always assumed that that was already just a reality in this universe anyway. Because I
Yeah,
mean,
but
let's be.
seeing it in action, it's like, oh, this is fucked.
Yeah.
This is, cockfighting with intelligent animals.
Yeah.
Sentient
Well, I mean,
animals.
yeah. I mean, that was always implied,
Yeah, I mean
but.
it's. I'm surprised there was never a Michael Vick edition.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the Michael Vick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they might have tried to do that with Team Rocket, but
Yeah.
let's be
Yeah.
honest, they're not competent enough to do that. There's
No.
another good Mr. Mime bit in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's on a bike! He's on a bike! Oh. He's
Oh.
taking a real tumble. He should have worn a helmet.
Yeah.
Also, something about seeing Ryan Reynolds' voice coming out of that adorable little Pikachu, rattling that fence, screaming, "Get me the hell out of here!"
And there's a bit where he's like running down the possibilities for what happened to his dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, this last one he's going through, and he's like, "And there's no way this could happen."
Yeah, he's like, "Your dad faked his death, or somebody else faked your dad's death, or your dad faked somebody else's death. That last one doesn't work at all."
It's a good thing I'm mentioning this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do believe we got us a show, folks. So, if you would like to get in contact with us, have a question you want to ask, just something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We have it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any place that exists where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed. So, for Felipe Pudinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, saying good night.